This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's time to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimate.
Tell Me Why is an episodic narrative adventure from Don't Nod, the team behind the Life is Strange series. Making history, it's the first ever major video game release to feature a trans protagonist, and Tyler as a trans man is represented thoughtfully and honestly, which is fantastic to see. Charlie and Haley from Checkpoint had the opportunity to sit down and have a chat with Morgan Lockhart, lead writer for Tell Me Why from Don't Nod, along with Clay Carmouche, narrative director at Xbox Publishing. Please note, there may be some story spoilers from the first episode in this interview.
Hi everyone, you're here on Checkpoint. My name is Charlie. I'm joined by Haley. We're joined by two special guests. First, we have Morgan Lockhart, lead writer for Tell Me Why. Hi, Morgan.
Hello, everybody.
And we also have Clay Carmouche, narrative director at Xbox Publishing. Hi, Clay.
Hey, thanks for having me.
No worries. Thanks both of you for joining us so much today. I guess I wanted to kick us off. So we think it's both worth noting that both of us here, Haley and myself, are trans. We've had very high stakes going into Tell Me Why, especially after other games have fumbled their trans representation in the past. I guess one of the big questions we wanted to ask you guys was, how important was it for you to get this right so that trans folk like us kind of feel like it was a true representation?
That was the most critical thing. when we started this project, it was Don't Nod had already kind of had the concept in place. They had Tyler as a trans protagonist with his twin sister. Yeah. That was all already in place, both when myself and Morgan joined. So as soon as we heard the pitch, that was the first thought on our side, and on the Xbox side was, you know, wanting to make sure that the subject was treated in the best way possible. And we quickly realized Don't Nod was on the exact same page, and we just went together from there.
I guess it's kind of bouncing off that. Do you think there's any reason trans lead characters kind of haven't really existed too much in AAA spaces until now, really? Have you seen a shift culturally in yourself that's opened the door for kind of more characters like Tyler?
I mean, I certainly think that in broad representation, you know, in various forms of entertainment, you are starting to see that shift. There are more and more wonderful trans characters out there. I really love the show Pose, you know, and so I think the entertainment medium out there is shifting in general, and it was time for video games to come with it.
Absolutely. I think, you know, it was long overdue, if any.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think shows like this one, honestly, and just, you know, the world is now, there's so many venues now for different voices, and I think that before, you know, when you go back 50 years and you got three networks, you know, you go back 20 and you have four. I'm speaking about America here, but there's just been an explosion of content, and with that, there's a lot of opportunity for different voices, and I think that creates a hunger for more.
Absolutely, very exciting time for that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of tropes in Tell Me Why that I guess concern trans people, but then you kind of find very interesting ways to, I guess, shift them around. I guess the biggest example, you know, is the big plot twist at the end of the first episode where you think this person that's perpetrated abuse as a trans person, but then there's that interesting twist with Allison in there. How did you kind of find this balance? Was that intentional to kind of, like, go totally against the tropes, or...?
I think we didn't consciously say these are the tropes and we want to turn them on their head. It was, you know, we did always have this list of things we didn't want to do, and that those were very informed by the past, what had come, and the many bad tropes. But, you know, it really came down to, you know, just really trying to tell a good story. And, you know, I think it arose pretty naturally that, you know, that committing to this experience of avoiding all these harmful tropes and creating a well-realized character and a story that did him justice, I think those things just came out organically, because there are so many horrible tropes out there, and that, you know, it's hard to not just make some choices that end up seeming like they're those flipped on their head, when really it's just, you know, just trying to tell a good story and avoid things that you know can cause harm. So
I wanted to talk a bit about, to you particularly, Clay. So Xbox Game Studios, they're clearly big supporters of diversity. We've seen this definitely over the years in many ways. What insights can you kind of give in terms to helping steer important narratives such as this one?
Oh, well, I mean, I have no insights. I'm the least intelligent person. But I think it's very important to Xbox and Microsoft, and I think that really it aligns with the goal of serving up as much diverse content as possible to support Game Pass. You know, this is a venue for players to experience as many possible games as they can, and we want there to be a diversity of content. So we are actively looking for unique voices and unique stories in all of our games.
Absolutely.
Gaming for everyone, right?
Absolutely.
That's the slogan. Gaming for everyone.
100%, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is a release kind of opened the door for more diverse and more trans stories in gaming, do you feel? How does working on this title help inform potential future characters in, say, Xbox Game Studio games?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, there've been we certainly aren't the first in this space, but we have a loud voice, and my hope is, you know, the reviews have been very good, and it seems like it's gaining a following, and so the hope is that anybody that was, you know, fearful of approaching subjects like this become less so, in the sense, you know, everybody, money is always the thing that matters, unfortunately, right? Like, it does something to make money, and then it's assigned value, and so hopefully the game is popular enough and gives people the willingness and bravery to confront and tell stories that don't get told.
And we're really hopeful that the commitment to authentic casting is something that that gets carried forward as well, and that we're hoping that we've opened some more doors for that.
Absolutely. I kind of wanted to bounce off that authentic casting, actually. So I understand you guys worked with GLaAD in writing Tell Me Why, especially in creating Tyler. I understand you've done stuff like seek out other trans male actors in other countries and regions to, I guess, portray Tyler in that localization. I was wondering if you could speak to that a bit.
Yeah, that was critical to us once we realized what kind of story we were telling. You know, a lot of us have been around this industry for long enough to notice that there's a homogeneousness and talent that's available, and that doesn't always have to do with, you know, casting people that are currently, you know, in the profession. It has to do with systemic disenfranchisement that's existed in the industry for a long time, which means that if you don't feel welcome, or if you are passed over for opportunities, you go find work elsewhere. You know, you might leave the profession. You know, you might decide to pursue other things. And so it was important to us to, where we could, give opportunities to people that have been disenfranchised, and to portray their own characters and tell their own stories. And we were able to do that with August Black, our Tyler in the U.S., and we were able to find trans actors in all of our localized nations as well. And that also carried over for the Klingit character in Michael and Eddie.
And so, obviously, you've done bouncing off telling your own stories. Obviously, you've done a lot of consultation alongside GLaAD and a lot of the workers in both Don't Nod and Xbox Studios kind of workplaces. I was wondering if you could speak a little to what that consulting looked like.
Yeah, so GLaAD came on very early, and I don't know if they exist in Australia.
They do.
Okay. So they came on very early, so I don't need to explain who they are, but and they were present with us. We worked with Nick Adams, who is trans himself, and Blair Durkee, and they came in very early and provide a lot of education on the history of representation, so we were very aware of some of the pitfalls and places we didn't want to fall into. But then they were present through all phases of the script, right from the start, in terms of getting a good outline in place, and then moving on to the, you know, fully fleshed out story. Every time we did a story rebreak, they were there to advise and give notes, and then that process continued through in the scripting phase when we moved to writing dialogue and nailing down some of the detail work. They reviewed scripts and made suggestions, and also we developed enough of a relationship over the course of it that, you know, we'd kind of heard some of their stories and perspective, and that certainly informed the writing as well.
Yeah, if I knew we were going to have a scene that was going to delve into Tyler's, into aspects of Tyler that dealt with his identity as a trans man, I would usually go to them and I would get hyper specific about, you know, this is what this scene needs to accomplish, and can you talk to me a little bit about, you know, about this topic, and then I would, you know, so that I would flesh out the scene, and then I would send it back to them to make sure I got it right and get notes. So it was very close. It was a lot of back and forth.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the, I guess, answer Tell Me Why has to the time reversal mechanic that Life is Strange had, in that you've got this mechanic where these twins share this voice. They use it to relive memories, stuff like that, and at times uncreates this unreliable narrator. What did this kind of look like in the writing? Was this mechanic planned and known from the get-go? Did you guys have any other kind of ideas workshopped in this?
No, it actually came on. I can't say late, but it came on. The idea that they would communicate telepathically was in place from the very beginning. And it was only after Vertical Slice, in which we kind of had some of these projected memories, that we hit upon the idea of having their memories be incomplete and what we call the Rashomon effect. And at some point, I can't remember who said it first, but we were like, it's Haunted House Rashomon. That's the story. It's Haunted House Rashomon. And that was kind of the birth of that technique, and or it's the central game mechanic.
Yeah, to clarify, the Vertical Slice is, if for anybody who's listening who may not know, that's your first sort of experience, and it's, you know, usually roughly 15 minutes long, but you try to have something as close to the game as possible, and from there you go forward and build out the rest of it. So yeah, it was around the time I came on, though, so it was, you know, it was almost 2 years ago, so it was beyond the concept phase, but before we really had the, you know, the full fabric of the game, so that we were able to take it through and figure out how those moments of different perception would really help inform the overall story we were telling.
Yeah, and I'd just like to take it back a few steps for a moment, just touch back on the tropes for a second. So, especially those surrounding transphobia and its depictions in the game. So one of the common tropes in, like, trans depictions has always been, like, extreme pushback and violence when it comes to a trans person living their identity. And, you know, Tell Me Why obviously takes a more nuanced approach and uses more kind of microaggressions and so on and so forth when kind of people start kind of little pushing back on Tyler's being Tyler. So what prompted the use of this more subtle depictions of transphobia and discrimination? And how important was it that this trope in particular for your narrative was turned on its head?
I think it was, you know, for us, we really wanted to create something that wasn't going to sort of re-traumatize our trans audience for the sake of educating or, you know, eliciting a specific type of empathy to the cis player that I think is, you know, has been done many times before. You know, we really did want something that would feel true to life. You know, obviously, we didn't want to create a picture of a world that was too optimistic, you know, so that we wanted those moments of microaggressions, those misunderstandings, but then, yeah, to try to do something that was something that people would be able to experience without being re-traumatized, to the best of our ability.
So I guess one of the other big things I wanted to ask was, how different does this feel to some of the other projects you've worked on? Obviously, I know a few of you worked on different stuff like Halo, Destiny on the past and stuff. They don't really offer the opportunity to tell trans stories quite as much. So how much of this did you draw from yourselves in, I guess, exploring stuff like acceptance, grief, personal stories, and how much of this was the consulting part of the story?
Oh, well, I think we were all drawing on our own experiences and mm-hmm. experiences of family and friends, and then certainly GLAAD and honestly, our cast members, you know, also kind of helped fleshed out some of these ideas. But Personally, yeah, it was. I certainly drew on my own experiences, and it was great to have an outlet for some of these more existential questions that keep me up at night. And you know, having worked on, you know, space shooters and things, which I'll still go back and play later on, and I still love very much. But there isn't an avenue really for some of these deep stories to be told, and it's one of the things that Don't Nod is so great at, and it was a great experience for me, for sure.
Yeah, it was really a treat to be able to work on something that was character driven and more personal. And, you know, absolutely, there are, I think all of us put pieces of ourselves in there. Clay likes to joke that I was the Ronins in some ways, and that I grew up in a house in the middle of the woods with my brother and my mom. And, you know, I am a mom, and so Marianne in particular is a character who I really wanted to get right. And, you know, without spoiling too much, there's a lot about her story that's familiar to me as a mom and somebody who's connected with a lot of other moms. And yes, so again, there's just, you know, we all put pieces of ourselves in there, and, you know, some of the other themes that are just as important, if not more important than Tyler's trans identity, like healing and mental health and small communities and, you know, and grief and moving on and forgiveness and all these things are, you know, we drew all of those things from our own lives and the lives of those around us to try to tell a beautiful story. And it was a really special experience to be able to work on something like this, for sure.
And in a lot of games, you know, writing is always a blast in games, but very often it is the easiest thing to change when you have problems. You can paper over. I always say delete doesn't cost a dime, so you can quickly solve some problems through narrative, and sometimes that leads to some incoherent stories. And so as a writer, sometimes, you know, you feel like you're paying service to the design, and this was a opportunity where the writing is really very upfront, and so it was a pleasure for that reason, for sure.
And so just on one final personal note, how has it been for you both to be involved in creating something with such important representation like Tell Me Why?
I mean, it's certainly incredible. You know, I only have ever had one, you know, similar experience, which is, you know, I worked in an MMO called Rift, and we did have a storyline with two women who were in love, and, you know, we got a lot of feedback from that, even though it was a rather small story in a massive online world. And, you know, and that was only just a fraction of this, obviously, since this, it's the difference between, you know, something that some players found and some players didn't, but versus something that there's no way you can miss, and that, you know, that it is really moving things forward. And it's really been great to know that we had that impact.
Yeah, I would just agree. Like, this is certainly one of the most rewarding projects I've been a part of.
So thank you so much for your time today. It's been lovely speaking to you both.
It's a game we're very, very passionate about and very, very excited about on Checkpoint. Thank you so much, and thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.